Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. It gives me great privilege and surely I am highly honored to be able to do so. But brothers and sisters, you have to understand that today, and we're talking about this week on Monday, we have troubling times that go by on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And we thank Allah that we're able to wake up the final day. And sometimes we are upset, and sometimes we are angry. Sometimes we don't want to deal with certain things that if you're dealing with a problem, if you're trying to handle a problem, if you're trying to forget who made you upset, who made you angry, and you're thinking that you are catching hell. But did you ever think about you alive? You know how many people are dying today? It's unbelievable. For the first time, they're actually putting out who has died. And we get more on the radio and the newspaper, and all the different communications tells us how many people have passed away. And did you ever think about when you understand that there is a lot of people dying, but we don't know who they are? All we know, they are dying. And more important than that, brothers and sisters, is we never hear the statistics on the people who have died from heart attacks. We don't have that type of communication to understand who died and who did not die. How many people died from COVID-19? Isn't that amazing? That everything is COVID-19. And how many thousands of people have died today? And thousands of people and thousands of people died yesterday. And you got over 100 million people that's dropping dead. But let me ask you a simple question. And I'm quite sure you didn't think about it. But have they ever told us the statistics of how many people die from heart attacks? Because I believe if they had tell you that, you would be more worried about your heart and you would go get checked. Why so many people dying from heart attacks? What about sickle cell? How many people have gotten their foot cut off, got both their legs cut off? And how many people can't walk? And how many people are dying for sickle cell? I'm quite sure if they would tell us the statistics, we would worry about how we're going to protect our organs, our kidneys, so we don't die from what? Sickle cell. What about high blood pressure? You know how many people have died from high blood pressure? If you knew how many people have died from high blood pressure, I'm quite sure you would make it to the doctor real quick and pray that you don't have high blood pressure. But more important than that, how could you stop it? Because there is a way to stop it. But did you ever think about it? Because they don't tell you that. Sickle cell. There was 60 Minutes talked about sickle cell. It's about sickle cell is killing so many people, and they're saying black people. They're saying black people are being killed. For what? A disease called sickle cell. But I'm not fabricating. I'm trying to enlighten you. Now, there is a doctor here in America, brothers and sisters. I know firsthand, and you know I wouldn't fabricate when it comes to one's life. But he found the cure to sickle cell. Cure, he decided to give it to the Africans because if he would be truthful, and he is, he learned about sickle cell in Africa. He's a scientist, one of the most outstanding scientists that travels the globe. Just so happened he lives here in America. But he went over there and they built a beautiful lab for him. And he was able to stop the children in Africa from crying and dying from sickle cell. Now, scientists, you got to understand, they are different type of creatures. They're not medical doctors. They find the cure of what medical doctors cannot help, for instance, sickle cell. But more important than that, he would be remiss if he doesn't tell you that he learned about sickle cell through an African. But this African, he was not a doctor that's been given the necessary piece of papers to be a physician. Why was he able to understand sickle cell? Because he was helping the people over there from the herbs, come from the earth. Today we call them witch doctors. Now, when you say witch doctors today, it's broken down that this is a guy that just comes up with ideas and he'll put together and pray that it would help you. Well, it's been helping him for years. When Dr. Pandey realized, and that's who he is, his name is Dr. Pandey, and he's known around the world, and Dr. Pandey decided to pick his brain. Then he went into the lab. And he is proud to say he got it from an African, insignificant African that was able to help his tribes when the babies was crying and begging for help. So the difference from him and a scientist, the scientist can make it where everybody can benefit, because everybody's not going to be able to get to him. It's like you're blind and you can't see no more. But the only one who can cure you is a guy in Africa. Well, we don't have the money to go to Africa. And we don't know who that guy is, never met him. So therefore, you'll suffer being blind. But there's a cure. That's a metaphor. So Dr. Pandey decided to put that all together and go in his lab and use the ingredients he used and his scientific ability. He found the cure to sickle cell. And my God, was they helping them there in Africa. But then the tribe decide, we don't need him. He has enough pills that we can get rid of him and do this ourselves. Yeah, it's a true story. I'm not just fabricating. I'm giving you factual, actual facts. And so they did. They survived for 2-3 years, but they ran out of medicine. And when they ran out of medicine, they created their own. But it was like giving the children candy. Like the way it tastes, but it wasn't good for them. So they decide they got to go back and get Dr. Pandey. Because Dr. Pandey will come and do what he ought to do, but he decided he's not coming to Africa. Before the Africans not only beat him out of what he was, that he created, but they tried to do it themselves. But meanwhile, who suffered? The little children. They suffered beyond one's imagination. Because why? Some individual got selfish and wanted to do like America and use it just for money. Money. They wanted money. They call it the Benjamin. I don't know what they call it over there because they don't have Benjamin Franklin on their bill. So I don't know what Benjamin they're talking about. But nevertheless, I walked into his life. And since I walked into his life, brothers and sisters, I didn't know too much about the Hindus. Now, one thing about me, I would tell you, I'm a student of Imam Waruddin Muhammad, but Waruddin Muhammad is the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, if you see a Christian on one side of the street, and the side you on, if you go by and you see a Hindu, cross over. I never knew what that meant. But therefore, I never studied the Hindu religion. I'll be honest with you. And that was all during the first experience. But he also said, if you see a foreigner, don't let him in. Meaning, don't let him in your life, and don't let him in the temple. Other lights attract, and a repel, and a light repels. And he knew that we'll start looking like the Arabs and the foreigners. We would get rid of our own culture. So he was smart. Be into yourself. And as I came into the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessed be upon the Prophet of 1400 years ago, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon his sinners and his companions. But I began to read all revelation. And so when I was introduced by a female, Debbie Downs, decided to invite me to a man that she thought was very unique. That's how I met Dr. Pandey. And he said something very profound. He said, Murad, God sent you. Like God, because we all believe in Allah, and that is the God. And he wasn't talking about no idol God. He was talking about Allah. And I couldn't understand why he would say God sent you. Because the Hindus are the type of people that anybody that comes to them that's a stranger, God sent them. So meaning that he's got to see who you are and treat you with hospitality, and more important, be cordially to you, because you could be a blessing to him. Now, if you show that you Satan, you're the devil, then they will run like hell. Now, in America, it's opposite. You're no good. I don't know you. You're no good, and I don't want to hear anything from you. And sometimes we blow our blessing. So that was a plus to me. And they eat right. And I thought that they worship the cow. Why? These are the rumors that they said. They don't worship the cow. They don't eat meat. But the reason why they give a lot of credit to the cow, because the cow gives milk to their babies. And they appreciate that, so why harm it? So they won't eat meat. They eat herbs and vegetables and things that should go in your body. I can sit here for hours and tell you about the Hindus, because I experienced it. I experienced their demeanor, that they love one God, not two, three, four. So when you travel, brothers and sisters, you're able to meet certain people. This is why Allah wants Allah. And when you're making Hajj, you have to put your culture back on, because you want to learn from each one's culture, and you can learn from each one. But if you don't communicate, you don't socially, how are you going to learn? We should know our neighbors. Now, I'm not telling you that all Christians are good, and I'm not telling you all Hindus are good. Why, brothers and sisters, all people that say they're in Islam is no good. So it's in all the religions. You just got to be up on your five senses to know who you should be in the company of. But we found out that this man came back to America. He's from India, and decide to submit his cure to the FDA. And the FDA approved him. That if you take this one pill that has no substance in it that will hurt any of your other organs, it will stop you. The babies won't cry no more. The people with sickle cell will have no more pain. And then he taught me this myth that sickle cell is just for black folks or minorities. It's a myth. Sickle cell attacks each human being that has something in it that triggers this sickle cell. Comes in all walks of life. But Africa got it bad, and the African Americans got it bad because they made it an African American sickness. But more important, being around him and moving with him, walking with him, and talking with him, I learned, brothers and sisters, because it's a black disease, the reason you don't have an answer to it, because we're poor. And all of us ain't going to be able to buy that medicine. And all of us is not going to have insurance for that medicine. So they didn't care. Well, how much money do they have in Africa? But their currency is much less than us. When I do fights in that part of the world, they had to put my money in American currency. When I say 14 million, I don't mean 14 million of their currency, because it won't be millions. In America, it'll be worth maybe $10. So I might have 100 million. I'm sorry, 100,000. So their currency is inferior to our currency. So how was they paying Dr. Pandey? With their currency. Because why? It wasn't about money. It was about, let's cure these people. Now fast forward, by him inducting me with a doctor degree, calls me Dr. Marat. Now, nobody with intelligence referred to an individual that has no ability, doctor. I accepted. Everywhere we went, meet Dr. Muhammad. So what kind of doctor is he? Don't worry. The only one can say stuff like that is Muhammad Ali. No one's going to question Muhammad Ali. He was so loved that when he said something, you accept it. Because you knew Muhammad Ali didn't mean no harm for you. Well, that's the way Dr. Pandey was. Dr. Pandey, he said something that would never question it. Because why? This man received an honor unbelievable around the globe. And that honor represents that he went against 9 other scientists. Now, I'll be remiss if I tell you, I can tell you who they are. Can't. So I would be remiss not to mention their name if I knew it. I don't know. But I know Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, and I was pretty close, never told me he had something wrong with his brain. And he used to call me and he used to want to be with me with Muhammad Ali. And 5 months before he passed away, he was supposed to meet me in Kentucky. He called and said, "Well, I cannot make it. But I'll send you some computers for the children." And I wonder why the computers didn't arrive. He was sick and he passed away. May God be pleased in the grand paradise, but he beat him. Warren Buffett, I don't even know about Warren Buffett. He's a scientist. He beat him. And I learned a lot about the last one that I know, Bill Gates. He beat him. So he became the number one. I traveled with him to the FDA. He was speaking. When we saw 60 Minutes last night, brothers and sisters, I was really stunned, and I realized they don't give a damn about us. They are on 60 Minutes saying they think they got the cure for sickle cell. It's that little dot they can't connect. But the guy they was using didn't look like you and I. He's a Caucasian. He's trying to find it. He's nowhere near the level of Dr. Pompey. But the key is sickle cell has it on the market in America. That's approved by the FDA. How did I know that? I went with him to the FDA. Why they didn't say, excuse me, you need to go see Dr. Mandy, and we can cure up this disease. I got a great-granddaughter that has it. But who am I to say to my grandson, go to this guy, and you will find out your baby don't have to keep going to the hospital. She's only about 2 years old today. So why is she going? Because he don't know. He ain't part of the world. He just does what doctors tell him. Oh, come in and shoot him with this, shoot him with that, shoot him with this, and none of that helps. But who is I, Grandpa, can tell them I have the man that can help my great-granddaughter, but you can't make your grandchildren, nor your children. Most of them don't even listen. But when I saw them black children crying, and I saw that Islamic sister from America said her baby fell on the floor, laying on the floor, begging, crying, and a nurse was right there. She never helped the baby up. Never tried to cater to the baby. She said, what is America coming to? On 60 Minutes. On 60 Minutes. That's a black baby. And you don't, we can't make no money off of that. That's all they're saying. So now I'm not upset. I believe now all I've been saying for the last 4 or 5 years, that we have a doctor that has all his senses. And that only have a cure for sickle cell, a great deal of things, brothers and sisters. You see, I was asked, and I'm not deviating, but this is how I speak on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, when I speak. I was asked, would I take over Tyson and Roy Jones Jr.? Now, I love both of them. And I gave both of them millions. In one fight, $17 million to Roy Jones Jr. That's me. Roy never knew he would make $17 million, but he had to work for it. We had to fight for the heavyweight championship of the world. We won. But Mike Tyson was kicked off of HBO. He and Don King. The whole industry shut Don down. I went and got Don. Because why? I needed Mike Tyson. So you do the math. Mike Tyson got, for the first time in his life, $11.5 million that came from me. In the second fight with Razor Ruddock, he got $18 million that came from me. And I offered him $25 million to fight Roy. Then I brought him back again. It wasn't no Roy. It was just Mike. And I gave him $75 million. That's what I do. But when I met Dr. Pandey, I'm going to help America. I'm going to help Africa. And I'm going to help India. Yes, they're suffering in these three countries. Now, that's not counting across the globe. And you wonder the reason why we couldn't make those deals, because Africa wanted him to come back, and they're in charge, and they only wanted to give him but so much money. It was a long story. And I said, excuse me, sir. You live in America. He said, yes. And your baby's back home is suffering from sickle cell. He said, yes. I said, I'll make a deal with you. Let's make a deal that all you have to do is pay us X amount of dollars and you can sell that for anything you want. He liked the deal. But in the deal, he wanted us to be tied up around the globe. I said, excuse me. I'm giving you an opportunity. Not only will we come to help you, but we will open a school, because that's what Dr. Pandey do. He teaches children that's involved in wanting to be a scientist how to be a great scientist. And he got 29 or 39, whichever it is, he got patents. He wants to give it to the children. So we will teach Africa so you don't need us when we pass away. But they want to tie us up for the whole globe. So I said simply to him, do you think India, where we will go, will say the same thing to me, that I have to give them a piece of me to come into India? It's okay. But if you're my partner, I can't make that deal. Because I got a partner that owns me exclusively around the world. So it's not going to happen. You got Africa. That's a big damn country. But more important, what about your children? And I understood why they didn't do the deal. Because they cut up and tried. They cut up and tried, brothers and sisters. And because they cut up and tried, only the tribe that's in office going to rule. But then when another tribe get in, only tribe rule. And if another tribe get in, should I go on? They cut up in about 350 different tribes. And that's why Africa is not successful. They don't love each other. It's about the tribes. They got gold, silver, they got oil, they got coffee, sugar, you name it. But they don't love each other. And that's why he couldn't make a deal, because he wanted just for him and his tribe so he could rule. So I said, we're not doing the deal. Because they got sickle cell in China. They got sickle cell in London. They got sickle cell around this country. So everybody I do a deal with, I have to give them a piece of their country. Makes sense? Makes a whole lot of sense. But I realized that Africa is just like India. They rule on the sense of finance and the complexion of your skin. All is racist all over, brothers and sisters. And so therefore, we couldn't make that deal. Now here in America, they're crying out on 60 Minutes. I'm going to put the metal to the pedal, because I'm going to expose that we have a scientist right here. Now, he's 81 years old, but he's young in his mind and his ability, because I thought God's going to take him away from me. He had a stroke. Couldn't hardly walk. Couldn't go up his stairs to his his laugh. He's had to take the drink, freight elevator to get up. Today he walks up the stairs. He walked faster than the next person. He never gave up. And maybe that's why he loved me, because I didn't give up. And there's a lot of doctors that didn't give up. And if the flag man's listening to me tonight, he will bear witness. He didn't give up. He's former FBI. His granddaughter had sickle cell. So we didn't get up under him for our self-gratification, and we didn't do it for money. That's not what I do things for. If Allah blessed me with a scientist with ability, I want to take it around the world. That's what I do. And I've been fighting and talking to people, but they look at his age. Isn't that amazing? And so therefore, inshallah, me and Allah pleases, we'll be able to get him what we want. Now, what I really want, and I'm trying to say to the Islamic world, especially here in America, because there's a whole lot of us with a great deal of money, but when you got 5 million, 10 million Muslims, if you put all the foreign brothers together, we got 20-something million Muslims. All we need is $100. And we got enough to build our own lab and put in our young children and let him teach what he knows. And we will be the asset to America with sickle cell. But it's hard to talk to people. I believe you see it now. And if you've got any love for those who have it and you don't, why you don't want to stop sickle cell? Because our grandmas and mothers and friends, I had a friend named Arnold stopped, passed for sickle cell. Today, brothers and sisters, I always send out things that I believe I would talk about. That's who I am, and that's how I do things. So I ask the question, why do we refer to ourselves as New Africa? In all my life, I was the promoter, the producer of all my TV shows. Did I go to school for it? No, I went and got expertise. I'm smart enough to know how to oversee. Since I'm paying the money, you know the old saying, who pays the fiddle costs too. But I didn't get in their way. I just needed them. And so I learned how to produce. Not just being on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, X Enterprise, not just being on conference call or seminar. And I did the impossible. I heard Steve, he'll come to me. But he was on TV. He's a comedian. And he talked about how he started. And he used a very profound story that touched me. He said he wanted to give up. He wanted to literally give up. So he said that he was a comedian, but he didn't have nowhere to live. He was homeless. He was laying around wherever he can lay around. So he said, talk to Allah. He says, God. He talked to God. And he said, oh, God, why me? Can you help me? That was a big step. Because I feel like giving up. And some tell him to go to the phone. Steve Harvey, if you listen to me, that's the angels. There's angels sit on your right and there's angels sit on your left. And your soul talks. talks to you. So he said something told him to call himself on the phone. He said when he called himself, he couldn't get a connection. So he called back, and he hit his tape. And the tape said, Steve Harvey, come to Apollo. We would like for you to do a show. Can you be here tomorrow? No, he said Saturday. Can you be here Saturday? So Steve Harvey said, whoa, I wanted this real. So he called back and said, I'll give you $150, but you got to be here on Saturday. He said he didn't have $150. So he went to call the gentleman back, and another guy picked up and said, Steve, yes. He said, we're doing a show, man. You're doing a show, yes. And if you come to this show, we'll give you $150. But when is the show? Well, the show wasn't too far because he had to do it in Florida and he was in Atlanta. So he figured, yes, I'll be there. But he didn't know how he was going to get there. He figured he'd get in his car and he'd drive. So he said, well, maybe the guy didn't mean this Saturday. No, it was this Sunday. It was this Sunday, he said. So he called back and said, you mean this Sunday? Well, it could have been next Sunday. And he said, yes, not Sunday or Saturday. The moral of the story is that he went and did that job, and now he got some money, and he's got to get to. Told the guy, God said, all right, you got to go get your hotel room. He said, man, I ain't got no money. He said, you don't have no money? He said, no, I don't have no money. He said, all right, I'm going to send you upstairs where the rooms are. But don't you come down instead. And he was sitting there and said, man, I'm hungry as hell. I'm going down upstairs. So he came downstairs. Guy said, man, he said, look, let me just go to the Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'll be right back. If you ain't back here in 10 minutes, he went there, got his chicken, came back. But then he don't go on till 11 o'clock. So it must have been Saturday because they don't do that on Sunday. He didn't go on till 11 o'clock. So all the guys went on. I can't name them all, but they all failed. These were all top guys, who stars today, all of them. And he said, you're on. He didn't know what to do because everybody failed. So he went on, and he thought about Mike Tyson fighting this guy in the streets. So he took his hand, put it next to his eyes, and he acted like his eye was talking. He got a standing ovation. They love him so much. Hey, you come back, we'll give you $300. Now you're making $300. And then, of course, they put him on Apollo, the amateur hour, and he did that for 8 years. So the moral of the story, he never gave up, but I like that story. But he ain't heard my story. I didn't go on the stage to dance. I didn't go on the stage to play the instrument. I didn't go on the stage to sing. Nor did I play football, basketball, or hockey, or tennis. I didn't do any of that. What I believe that I could do is go to the world. My friends told me I was out of my mind. I was a dreamer. But if I told how I began and where I went, then I got a whole life story that I walked into HBO and they told me they don't do live boxing, brothers and sisters. I said, it ain't just live boxing. I'm going to take you behind Rahway State Prison. What? And I've been with them for 27 years. The same thing with all the networks. So I was on a high level. I wasn't giving no jokes out. I don't know how to give out jokes. But I know how to make things happen. So I wanted my name to be large. I wanted to be able to handle billions of dollars. And I come back here And I'm on Blog Talk Radio, and I enjoy it because I'm talking to people who never did nothing in life. You got a job. But here is it, that as a scientist, but if I told you we all can get behind this scientist, all I need is $100 out of your 5, 10, 15, 20 million, we've built our own science. Now we got men and women that learn it, but we're too selfish. We're cut up and tried. And because we're cut up and tried, we can't go nowhere because we got selfish people. And the only reason why they will fly that 747 and never flew a helicopter in their life, but they'll get behind the 747. You know why they won't do it? Because it's like they're going to kill us, they're going to kill themselves. They didn't want to die, but they want to tell you that they develop us. They want to tell you that they're great businessmen. They go overseas and they make a deal. The deal is not a good deal, and they bring it here to sell it to us for more money. But it ain't for the community. It's for themselves. They'll tell you to get behind, and we will be a great singer and a great performer. Yes. But it ain't for us. It's for themselves. Isn't that amazing? So all of these great basketball players, football players, and hockey, you name them, they got money. All these great singers from Motown and Philly International. Should I go on? But they don't come back to our community. Don't you understand something is wrong? So Allah Most High, you say, Bismillah, the Rahman, the Rahim, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Allah God, the Most High, glorify is He, name. Said Muhammad the Prophet, He sent Muhammad the Prophet to purify the believers so they can be purified and believe in God. This is what was sent to us, brothers and sisters. But we not taking it seriously. We're not taking it seriously at all because we understand and know how to read that, but we're not comprehending it. So it doesn't stand for anything but a lot of talk. But most of them, they have men and women that didn't pick up that type of character that you want to be over top of everybody. They worship idol gods. They believe in the prophet, but they worship idol gods. What is idol gods? Most don't know. You like to lie. You like to cheat. You ain't transparent. What are you idol? Those idol gods. You trick the community. You lie to the community. And you don't inform the community. So you do it for what? For your own self-gratification. But the followers, their character come from Muhammad the Prophet, like Abu Bakr, Ali, Aisha. Aisha was the wife of the Prophet when he passed. Khadija. These people had great character and et cetera. May Allah be pleased with all of them. This is men and women. So you women think y'all is left out. You can't be left out. Because these men and women had character for a community. Today, the man and women is not for the community. Or they laying around and don't want nothing. But there are some of us that is still in darkness. They're corrupted and et cetera. Most of us become corrupted. We want success in life, and we choose to do wrong. We made that choice to steal, lie, and we cannot be truthful to ourselves. So we got to understand what's going on. And you see, brothers and sisters, I have a way. It's not a masjid that I did Juma in that I don't talk about the reality of life. And I talk about what you read. You have to connect the dots. You just can't read it. So we who have faith in Allah, we understand and we made ourselves to understand Allah's command. Because Allah gives us that right to say yes or no. But when we understand the manifestations of the commands that's given to us in the Quran, we would understand the connection with God. He will give us justice. We will have justice. God permits us to be abused more than any human being on this earth. We abuse. The African America, we call ourselves the African American. What Allah wanted for us? What Allah is obligated to do justice by us. He allowed us to be depressed. He allowed us to be abused. Well, are we disappointed? We sure was abused and mistreated. But He, God, must reward us for going through these trials and errors, brothers and sisters. So the first time this all came about is when we was put on the slave ship. That brought us all here in America. And I like talking about this because I had a talk with a beautiful sister, very educated sister, lived in Africa. And she asked some important things to me. I wasn't shocked. I was just pleased that I wished her and I was on the radio because it was powerful. And one of the things that she heard me say was God. And she didn't like that. It's Allah. But she wanted to know why did I use God, and a lot of people use God. But I never said to her, are you in Al-Islam? Because what I heard, she wasn't in Al-Islam. Hear her soul talking. So why do they use that in the Quran? God. And I said to her, no, my sister. For the Quran is for the unintelligent and the intelligent. Nothing too small is out of the Quran. It's in the Quran. Nothing too large is in the Quran. So most people use the word God, so the writer wrote God. If you knew how to use the language of the Quran, it's Allah, which means God, one. But when you're talking to Christians that loves God too, they was taught to say God. She came back on me. She said, the Egyptians always use the word Allah. I said, you're right. Way before that, they used the word Allah. It was man that changed it to God. And because there's so many Christians, we are minorities. There's only 1.5 billion of us, but there's 8 billion or more out there. So you can't come into the church or in the synagogue and keep saying what they don't want to hear, because you lose them, especially our Christians. You say Allah, you lost them. You don't say Jesus, you lost. So we at their home of worship. We should not insult them. For Allah, Allah knows your heart. And if I use the word God, Allah knows that I make 5 prayers a day and never miss ever since I was 13 years old, 14. So I don't know how to miss prayer. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us he didn't come here and teach us religion, but we made 5 prayers. Surely I turned myself to thee, O Allah, trying to be upright, to he who originated the heavens and the earth, and I am not of his power, I'm not of the power of theists. There's only but one God. That's what we did, but we did standing up with our hands out. We was begging, but we didn't know anything about Islam. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't come here and teach us Islam. He taught us how to clean up and do for self. And my God, was we successful. They couldn't tell us about no COVID-19. We accept that. But we had a little bit of stubbornness in us. We didn't go to the doctor. We didn't trust him, so we didn't go. But we was eating good, which we thought we were. There are certain things we ate back then we can't eat today. Like whole wheat bread, to that knowledge. Meanwhile, everything's black. We ate to keep us from being inferior to the white man. Their white cake is angel cake. Our black cake is devil food cake. And so forth and so on. But the point is, brothers and sisters, we don't understand that we were being groomed by Allah himself, and we had no clue. Just like Muhammad the prophet, prayers, peace upon him, he was groomed and didn't know he was groomed. But he didn't accept no religion, didn't know nothing about God, didn't know nothing about revelation. That's where Allah wanted him, because he was a vessel. All you got to do is pour the knowledge in it. Ain't no corruption there, because ain't nobody take him away from God. He was acting in his nature. We was acting in our nature. But we was learning. We was learning. And so today, brothers and sisters, we are not accepting what they are giving us. When we were reflecting on our experience, it messed with our psyche. Your minds is all over the place. We over here, we don't know what we want to be. We want to be Arabs, we want to dress like them, we want to look like them, we want to talk like them. We all over the place. We all messed up. But as a human being, it was very good to us. But God blessed us to overcome. Isn't that amazing? We was overcoming. But we are performing an excellence. We're performing excellence. You know, we call this New Africa Excellent Enterprise Mirage Speaks. We was performing the excellence in man and woman. And if you can comprehend what I'm trying to say to you, God says he is not finished with our rewards. Yes, he's going to reward us. He has given us freedom and equality. We have the opportunity that is necessary for us to build our homes, build our schools, build our house of worship. We have the beginning of a community. And that's where New Africa came in, brothers and sisters. New Africa is an African country, the Africans who came over here. But God, listen, that is what God reformed. Why would God reform us? That is the question. Why would he make us new again? He reformed us. We are not no longer in Africa. We're no longer like our brothers that call themselves Africans. But we Africans. But we are new. We have a new way of thinking. We have the spirit. We have the sensitivity. We have evolved. We have a new way of seeing things. Different than what we saw before. This is not an abstract picture. We are different in our physical. We don't know that language no more. We don't know that culture no more. So Allah made us new, and that's how New Africa came about. We cannot be what we used to be. For Allah burnt all that out of us. He permitted it. He permitted us to suffer, but our ancestors made a covenant. Our ancestors made a covenant. That means a contract with God to see that their offsprings will grow up and stand upright, be on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path to God. That is us here in America. We're different. We're different mentally. We're different in the way our culture is. Ah, brothers and sisters, we are not an African in Africa. We are African here in America. That's what makes us different. But you out there, they didn't get it. They came and changed our whole way of thinking, our whole way of cut off everything that we was learning. Coming through kindergarten, coming through grade school, coming through high school, Sister Clara Muhammad Islamic College. And today, you don't even know your left from your right. And today, you're locked into your homes. Today, you put emphasis on the grave. Today, you don't want to grow. So, yes, I'm bold enough to say because this is New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Malah Speaks, and I come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. And I was always told, why don't you use the power you have? You went viral. So we're going to set up a GoFundMe. I like GoFundMe because so far he has not been a cheat. He hasn't been a con. Everybody that went GoFundMe got it. But what are we going to GoFund? We're going to go from our gift that God has given to the world. And one thing he has proven, that he has the answer to sickle cell. That's one thing to say he has it. But I can send you pictures that were patented here in America for sickle cell. Now, when they give you an okay, they okay you for 4 years, 5 years, then you got to renew it. Well, why in the hell they didn't renew it? Because the powers of being said that cannot happen in America. But how is it Black Lives Matter is changing all of that? Well, do you not think there's Islamic people all over the world, 1,500,000,000? Just give me 20%. If everybody around the world understand that this is what we want, there's no country, including America, will stop it from happening. See, the one thing about cures you, all you got to do is come back in a few months and say, my God, it works. It works. Let's use it. There's a lot of medicine to stop you from having cancer. There's a lot of money that stop your kidneys from failing. There's a lot of scientists on that, but they can't make money with it. Because if you ain't sick, how are they going to get paid? And this is the problem. Now, there was a comedian. I go for this one. He was a Caucasian. He was Jewish, and he was talking about a little boy. Now, this was interesting. He said a little boy came to the priest and said, can you tell me who God is? You don't know who God is? He says, no. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And scared the little boy, 4 years old. He's a ghost? Yes, he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they scared the young man. And he said some more things, but it wasn't a joke. He put it in a joke. But when you look at it, you see something is wrong with that. And then they was at the grave site, and I'm jumping because I don't want to have all that in my head. But he jumped and he said, you see this boy? You see that? That's the grave. This is where you go when you die. He said, well, I go in the hole? No, you have to say the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. The little kid said, Father, the Son, and I'm going in that hole. He said, no, not the hole, the Holy Ghost. It didn't make no sense to a person who was innocent. He was innocent. He don't know this world. All he knows is matter. He only go by what his nature tells him to say or do. He doesn't know this world. You have to teach him this world. You got to teach him his language. So that was a question that was asked to me. And the question was asked, well, why you say that Prophet Muhammad, prayers, peace upon you, is the seal of the prophet. He's over top of all the prophets. I said, no, nobody says that. Well, Allah says in the Holy Quran, there's no prophet over another prophet. So meaning they all had a job to do. Muhammad, the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the seal, meaning no more is coming. But what's in him comes from all of the prophets that came before him. So before he came to the seal, you got to go back to your father Adam, the first messenger of God, and you got to go back to what we call him prophet, so you know, because God don't need a prophet. Adam was our first prophet. You got to go all the way back to Moses. You got to go to Joseph and so forth and so on and up to Abraham, to Jesus Christ. That's before the prophet. So it was no seal until it got to the prophet. So I like to use this metaphor. They ordered them to bake a cake. You got to put eggs in it. Now, them eggs is liquid-like when it comes out the shell. But you got to put your very different ingredients in it. You got to put sugar in it. You got to put things in there, butter. You got to put butter in it. And all the stuff it takes you to bake a cake. So they was the ingredients. But when the cake got finished and it cooled off, what did you name? Because once you bite into it, you never would say, oh, these eggs sure taste good. This sugar sure tastes good. Oh, my God. This butter sure tastes good. You won't say that. You would say cake. But you can't make a cake without the ingredients. So that's the prophet, Muhammad, prayers, peace upon him. He would time everything in moderation until it was ready to go in the oven. That's the seal. That's the cake. It all is gone. And nothing else coming back. So nothing coming after the prophet. But they kept you away from it because what they don't want you to know is that he permitted the Jews. He permitted the Christians. But when they got off the hook, off track, the Jews wanted to keep it for themselves, which they're doing right now. Not all of them. You want to go to the synagogue, they allow you in, but you can't marry their women. But in Christianity, you can be anything you want. You can be a homosexual. You can be a dyke. You can be anything you want. You can be a murderer. You know how the mob will kill you and then go and pray and confess their sins, but another guy is going to die tomorrow. Because why? Jesus died for their sins. Well, that's not what it meant. And Jesus, in other words, crucified to the cross. You can't crucify God's creation. But these are the things they do and say because why? There's a lot of money in it. So here it is. Today they found out that the nuns have been getting rid of babies. Well, I thought you were a nun of this world. Well, you can't go against the grain. So they end up getting pregnant. They end up getting rid of babies. And now you got men stealing organs. I mean, this is sick. But they Christians, they Jews, they steal the organs and find little kids with paper in them. Oh, you don't know that because you don't care until it happened to your child. And then when it happened to your child, oh, now you're all upset. You want to sue, but you don't know nobody. You don't have the person who have the power. Go look at sport night. When they bust all them 2,000 reverends or rabbis and priests for what they were doing in Boston. It was in Boston. And it was a shame because this law firm was up against the Catholic Church. They got plenty of money. So you ain't going to beat me. But they wouldn't quit. With God's name, they went in there and won the case and exposed 2,000. Now, how are all these pedophiles get into a religion? And how these pedophiles is in the Olympics, the pedophiles are in the boys' club, the girls' club. How is this happening, brothers and sisters? You don't see this is Satan. This is what's going on. Religion don't change you. You can be a dope dealer and be in Islam. You can be a murderer and be in Christianity. You can be a child molester and be in Judaism. It happens. Satan ain't going to let you get away telling this story. You remember the flood? Oh, you remember Noah. But Noah just asked God, allow me to save my children, my family. Allah said, done. But the book will tell you that one child went to the mountain, but Noah lost more than one child. I won't tell you that. Why? You don't read the Quran. But however, let's use that one. When Noah said, oh, Lord, look at my son, my family. Allah said, he is not of your family. Because if he was, he'd have got on that boat. So that would get anybody. He is not of your family. Your family is on the boat. But then he saw Satan, Iblis, sitting right there. Jabez, go where you want. He was right there. He said, what are you doing here? He said, you think you was going to leave without me when God created me to be here until the final day of judgment, brothers and sisters? So you can't kill Satan. You can allow him. You can make him a Muslim. If you work at it, that's yours. That ain't mine. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, said, when it was asked the question, is the jinn in you? He said, yes, but I made my jinn Muslim. So the jinn is in all of us. So Noah couldn't get rid of it. But when Noah got off the boat, Noah's so messed, so shows you happy, got drunk. Some of y'all get drunk right now. things ain't going right, you're going to drink liquor. No, it's not good for you. Drink wine because you know it's not good for you. Oh, today we smoke dope or dip and wet and dip. I don't know what you call it. But you get high. So Noah got naked. And they said the first son tried to cover his shame. They called that son a white man. Just understand that. Look at the science. Call him the white man. Because why? He was the right man. But they said white. So he was not white in the sense of the word, but they wanted to let you think all white people are good. But the next one looked at him and turned his head in disgust. These are the three sons. They called him the yellow and brown man. But that last one ridiculed his daddy. Look at you, drunk, naked. You should be ashamed of yourself. They called him the nigger. So how you become the black man? Because this is the way they trick us. They say we are the children of Ham. And it's spread all over the world. You black, even black men will call you black. You say you black, yeah, but I got curly hair. You do not. So who is this black man? Who is this Ham? So we the children of Ham. Now how have we become the children of Ham when Noah is the son of Adam? And all them children was from his seed. So don't that make them the children? How did we get to be Ham? If this is how they tricked us. And they tricked us for years. They went into the land of the Indians, the native Indians here in America, and gave them blankets, which they was happy because they had to catch the different animals and cut them up so they can have their own furs and blankets and stay cold. They gave them blankets, but it had measles in it. What diabolical man can create measles and put it in a blanket? They did. Kill off a lot of Indians like that. The flu, way back then, they chased them out of Africa, Bill Gates. They chased them out of China with all these different viruses, but it never shut down the country. How did COVID-19 shut down the world? Now, brothers and sisters, I am not no scientist, but I trust in Allah. Look what Allah says. My whole earth obeys my command. So how in the hell can Satan change that? Allah gave him permission. Because they plot and plan, God plans, God's the best of planners. And I believe that I have seeking Allah, and I trust in Allah, I believe in Allah. What he said, brothers and sisters, you take a step, and I'll take two. So, I mean, if you don't get up off your ass set and do something for yourself, you're not going to get no help. Now, we read the Quran. I do not put a burden on an individual that which they cannot. But you just can't say you believe. You cannot just say you believe. It doesn't mean nothing. Allah say he will not help you, individual, until you change that which is bothering your soul. He didn't say your intellect. He said that's bothering your soul. Because if you read the Quran right, who talks to us? Our soul. So if your soul talks to you, do you listen to it? No, you don't listen to it. And because you don't listen to it, why would God help you? And you won't even listen to your own soul that tell you something is wrong with this. You can't tell me you're going to build something that we know about. That's a masjid. It was a masjid and a center. You know what's different from a masjid and a community center? You know what the difference is, brothers and sisters? Apparently, you didn't get it. Apparently, you don't understand it. For a masjid, not a center, not a community center, neither. But a masjid, if you put your money to build that masjid, you get the same thing in paradise. Allah will build you a home. Who tricked it up? Who conned it? All of these different outlets, call center, that's to just stop by to make prayer. You can stop by a church and make prayer if you don't have nowhere to go. It's a house of worship. But a masjid is different. That's the house that God created. You get barakats for that. But the reason why we don't have it is because we split up like Africa. We are reverted back to old Africa. Hell, people came over here in England and called it New England. They came over here to York and named it what? New York. New Jersey. Wasn't no new. Why they put new? Because they have new understanding, got a new soul, got a new intellect, got a new culture. That's what makes it new. Now, we are given that gift to be New Africa. Yes, our parents came from Africa. But 400 years, and you thought you were 3/5 of a human being, you think you got that same culture in you. It was burnt out of you for a reason. I like what Imam Rushdie Muhammad said, may Allah be pleased and grant him paradise. He said, tell them that they are rich with oil, but we, New Africa, is rich with the spirit of the Quran. We ain't got nothing else. We got the Holy Quran. Our brother Paul Five is. Drill anybody. Great martial artist. Great fisherman. I did it all because I believed. I had faith in what I believed. Until then, Allah says in the Quran, I have given you my whole earth. Do not neglect the dunya, meaning get a piece of this earth, but don't sell it. Do not sell it for the hereafter. And you got imams selling out and think they're going to get in the hereafter. Walking around with the, if you knew what I knew, you would go get that money, call all the brothers and sisters around and say, excuse me, let me tell you how much money I have and how much money I grew interest on that was sitting in my account. And I do not want to leave here until the community will take this money. No. What's happening, if you had a community and they left you a meal, it's a metaphor, and they left you a meal, but they got tired of you, they all left, you ain't giving none of them anything because you believe your community left. So who left? 10 people, 5 people, 8 people, all you got in your mess shit. But let them all stand up and see if you got anything in writing that says all of them, even though it's our money, because they left you. That's not Islam. That's Islam. That's your way. But it's not Islam. But that goes to you in the final day of judgment. And Allah ain't coming in no grave to talk to you. Fool, you ain't in that grave. You at the final day of judgment. And look what Allah said, your lips will be sealed, meaning we don't need you to talk. Let me show you how Allah seals our lips. Wake up in the morning before crack of dawn, you can speak. But when that crack of dawn starts, that's it. Allah don't need you to speak. All the lights are on. Zor, what do you mean? scholar. You can be whatever you say you are, Sheikh. But when you lead us in prayer, you can only speak solid. Allah doesn't need you to speak. And then here comes Asa. It's daylight, boy. The lights are on. Revelation is lit. He don't need you to speak. And all over the world, none of them can speak. Until when? Until we go down in darkness. Not grim. Now you can speak because the lights are turned off. So Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you think you're going to speak in the day of judgment? And here you a liar walking? You ain't dead mentally. But you're not dead. But you can't speak. So Allah is going to question you. But you can't speak. Who's going to speak for me? Don't ask me kindergarten questions. Who's going to speak for you? You should be able to figure that out. Because you can't speak. And you got to understand, brothers and sisters, that there's another world called a hereafter. And in that world, everything is new. You don't know nothing about this world. But is they teaching that? No. So my beautiful sister that I spoke to, and she's a doctor, lovely doctor. But I enjoy her questioning it. And she got to understand. She says, Maran, then why do we have to talk in the Arabira language? But she didn't know it was not the language of the people. I said, when you learn the words of God, you're not speaking, you're praying. Every word in the Quran is a prayer. They all start off with Fatiha. And they speak a different language in China, Fatiha. They speak a different language in Italy, Fatiha. They speak a different language in Africa, Fatiha. How about Poland? Fatiha. How about around the world? All of us, when we get ready to make our prayers, we read Fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. You read Fatiha. Now you can go to any part of the surah of the Quran and close out. But you cannot open the Quran without the opening prayer. That's around the world. Now who did it? Man couldn't have done it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't over here in this part of the world. Allah sent it all around the world. So that's the difference in reading the Injil or the Torah or any other book. You don't have that. So Allah said, oh, you Jews, Christians, and Sabbaths, meaning any other religion, believe in one God, and hereafter he has no compulsory. There's no compulsory in other Islam. You come, good. If you don't, Allah will still bless you for your good deed. So it's the heart of the human being. That's what got her too. He said, the heart. No, that wasn't her. That was another beautiful female. She said, the heart gets emotional. I said, no, you get emotional. I get emotional, yes. The heart is Allah. But you have the right to make you think that the heart is emotional. The heart submits to the will of God. That's why Allah judges your heart. Because your heart don't lie to God. And then I like using this metaphor now. Straight up, brothers and sisters, that's when you come to prayer. When you come to prayer, you make your intentions, Allahu Akbar. But after we do Fatiha and part of the surah, one or two of the surahs of the Quran, we go down and hoop position. And that's your whole body, your hands on your knees, and your head is straight, like Arizona. He says, hey, big head, I'm on your level. And you are, because the head has to be in tune with the heart. That's how powerful the heart is. But when you go back up to Kyan, your head is in the sky. Even though you're getting ready to move to another position. But when you go down to Sajja, you're saying, Allahu Akbar, you're going down to Sajja. And you're there like you're in the womb of your mother. Your forehead is on that earth. That's where you come from, your earth. Your nose touches the earth. Today we have prayer rugs because there's a floor, cement, wood, whatever, carpet. So you put your nose, because why? That is where Allah breathed his spirit into your father Adam, through his nostril. Then the flesh, the earth came alive. So we wasn't dead. Everything was dead but us. We came through the spirit. That's why you can't kill the spirit. But then angels say, hey, big head, what are you doing down there? And your brain say to the heart, what are you doing up there? He said, because God says, questions him. I don't question God. I'm the heart that keeps everybody, the organs alive. You cut that brain, that's a special gift that God has given to all of us. The brain, that's man. Brain, his intellect, is man. But the woman is the womb of the mind. You can't leave her behind. She's the womb of the mind. So you're one. However, when you go down, the heart is above you. Because if you cut off the brain, no more air or blood can get to it, you dead. But the body is not. But cut off the heart. Cut that jugular vein. The whole body is dead. That's important. That's how much important the heart is. So we are different, brothers and sisters. In our Africans is from Africa. I tell them all the time, we evolved. We don't have that culture no more. We ain't cut up in tribes. We're one Ummah. And that's what Allah wants for us. I thank you for listening. If I say anything to hurt anybody, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. Surely that was not my intention. I ask you for forgiveness. And if I said anything incorrect, I'm human. We all make mistakes. We say subhanAllah. Allah is the best knower. But if I say anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen, Allah Fitra, your deen, Allah Fitra, brothers and sisters. From Allah we came, Allah returned. But where do you return? You came here in your nature. You was in your nature. You got out of your nature. You got out of your nature, so when you leave, you return back to your deen as a fitra. Deen means a debt. You owe a debt to God. Stand up in your soul, in your spirit. Stand up in your love for Allah, your faith, your obedience to Allah. What is that? Your taqwa. Your taqwa. Oh, don't give me credit for any of that. Give that credit to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name. And I greet you from my only biological father. When you don't talk about him, you don't read about him. Adam, him and Eve. You don't have to mention her. When you say Adam, that's Eve. One soul, one community, one God. And I greet you from my father of the intellectual mind of all nationalities. Don't misconstrue, he is not our biological father, Abraham, or Abraham, as our Jews say. It's still the same person. But he's the father of the intellectual mind, meaning he searched for God. No one was there. He left the idol gods that his father was creating, 160 of them. He tore them all down except the big one. And the father said, they got on me. Did you do that, Abraham? He said, don't ask me, Dad, the big God. He said, don't jump salty with me, son. You know my God can't talk. You say your God can't talk. And that's when he went on his journey. And he saw the sun come up, and he knew that was God. But it set. He knew that was not God. The moon came out, whether it was the quarter moon or the full moon. It came out, but it set. The stars, it set. And that's when he got it. None of them was God. But I'm going to serve the one that created the moon, the sun, and the stars. So Allah told the prophet, call him father of the intellectual mind. And I greet you from our brother Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. He submitted. Jesus submitted to the will of God. Jesus came here to say, I am here to serve. He called it his father. But that's the way the writer wrote it. Just like they write God and then Allah, they said father. But we'll give him that. But it means he came to do the work of his Lord. I'm here to do the work of my father, the writer wrote. And my job is to take down the fig tree. And the fig tree represents seeds, you multiply. When you shoot them seeds into your wife, only one gets in. Them life germs, everybody will get in. Only one is an exception to the rule, but the rule is one. And those are millions. So the seed was to multiply the Jews' religion that they kept for themselves. So he had to stop that provocation. That's why he came. He ain't come to kill them. He ain't come to do no harm to them. It's a stop now for propagating because they were selfish and kept it to themselves. And he did just that. And then after he passed, one of the Jews decided, the good ones, to create the gospel, to create the Bible, the Old Testament. And then there is one God. It's not the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. But they came and changed it. Because why? It's about making money. You sell a lot of crosses, a lot of water, and call it holy water. You sell a lot of pills. You're eating the flesh of Jesus. A lot of wine. It looks like blood. You're drinking the blood of Jesus. All that's to make money. So Allah says, that's it. You want religion, man? I'm going to give you religion. And I prefer you to accept Al-Islam as your religion. The difference is both books were created by man with God's permission, but the Holy Quran was a gift to all humanity. It was given to the seal of the Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. May the peace and blessing be upon him, the Prophet and his companion. And his descendants, But you all think that we preach the prophet because he's better. No. When we give him excellent salute, that salute is for all the prophets in one. His cake sure tastes good. Simple. It's clear. You don't have to bother your mind and trying to figure out. The Quran is clear. There's no doubt in it. Because there's no doubt in it, don't you think you should learn that before you pick up another book? But look at the justification. Look at the simple justification. You say, why you quote the Hadith before you quote the Quran? They'll tell you, well, brother, we have to learn how to carry ourselves like the prophet. Oh, Allah left something out of the Quran? I just told you, nothing too small that's not in there, nothing too big that's not in there. It's in the Quran, fool. You want to learn about the prophet? Read the Quran. That's all I've been teaching tonight. That's all I've been teaching for 7 years, the understanding of the Quran. Learn that. You can read any book you want. Go read about Hitler. There's some good in there. You know why he was thinking the way he thought. But why would I want to read that when I can learn about Hitler in the Quran? 99% of the Hadith is not authentic. What is? Well, all the shaykhs and the ulama says 1%. 1%. But half of that 1% is not authentic. So let me ask you a question. They came over here, left their country, which is catching hell, to live here, and they're going to bring you that half of that 1% authentic hadith to us. Now, you know something's wrong with that because they don't even believe you Muslim. The same people that grow up and thought women was a curse and they buried them as little children. The same ones that keep women in the back. The same ones that hide them, don't want you to see them. The same one don't want you to show any of your beauty. Put the cover over top of the roses. I don't like white roses. I don't like pink roses. I don't like red roses. This is Allah's creation. Do you cover your grass? All your grass look beautiful. Your trees look beautiful. Everything physical, you paint it. Oh, this is gorgeous. But here, the greatest creation, the greatest creation of the world is being covered. No, that's your inferior complex, brother. You think something's wrong with her? She fears Allah. You can't stop her from doing what she wants to do. She don't fear us. She do it for the sake of Allah. And if you got a problem with that, there's something wrong with the whole marriage and yourself. I'll tell you in a minute, I'm not marrying nobody in no blanket. And I don't need to see what's under that dress. Don't give me that. Because if you're strong, you go 2 hours. If you're a little weak, you go an hour. It's the same results. But what is next? You marry your wife because of her heart. You can see her soul. You can see her spirit. Now that you've married forever. And inshallah, if she wants you in the hereafter and is in her heart, you will see your husband. Oh, don't starve me, brother and sister. I want to say to you that from the words of the Quran, I'm your host tonight, Farad Muhammad. And we say, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And all of you who have lost your loved ones with the COVID-19, we say, O Allah, separate their faults from their goodness as thou separate the east from the west and send them to Jannah. And those who are sick, we ask Allah, please lift the burden from them, come better. And you all that try to help the sick and try to cater to the sick and go and see the ill. We ask Allah to bless you with barakats. For those are big barakats that you receive in the hereafter. Inshallah, I shall return tomorrow from 7 to 8:35, 8:40. I will begin a new talk. Sometimes I invite my sisters around the countries and brothers around the country. If you get it, you can call in and you can ask Marad. And I will try to answer your question according to the Holy Quran. That's my 12th time of doing it. And I thank Allah for governing my tongue. And most of everybody that called me, matter of fact, all that called in, I always say that I answer your question. And they have said, I'm able to do that because why? I'm a student of Imam Waterdeen Muhammad. And he taught me to get all those fairy tales out your head that you read. And now pick up the Quran and know that God is speaking directly to you. And if you can see it like that, you would know that Adam is you, Moses is you, Abraham is you, Lot, Joseph, they are you. So Allah puts out there for us. Everything that they went through, you are going through right now. But Allah needs nothing from his creation. He needs nothing from man. But he created us to be the Khalifa. And we have that gift. It's New Africa. Peace and love.